A reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to him, for him to do what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Lord, may I speak, and may we all hear in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. Following that in the NRSV, and having prepared it in the NIV and the NRSV, and I don't know, what version were you reading from, Joyce? It was the NIV, right. Right, wasn't paying attention. There are interesting and subtle differences in some of the words used. I'm going back to a couple of verses before Joyce's reading. 40 days after Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph went to the temple to do two requirements of ritual. So this really should be being read at Candlemas, but because we're in the end of the series of the songs around Christmas, I'm dealing with the Nunc Dimittis to round that series off. So we're looking ahead a little bit. The two rituals required were the presentation of a firstborn son to the Lord, together with an offering to redeem him and to dedicate him to God. And this, of course, reflects right back to the Exodus and the Passover, when the Hebrew people escaped from Egypt, but only at the cost of everybody else's firstborn sons, and they were redeemed by putting the blood on the doorpost so that the angel of death passed over. And ever since that, firstborn Jewish sons were dedicated specifically to the Lord and their lives, in a sense, redeemed. And the other one was the required purification of a woman after having had a child. And if you had a son, it was 40 days, and you were required to make an offering. And in Mary and Joseph's case, it was two pigeons or two turtle doves. If you had a daughter, you had to be purified for 80 days. But I will not comment. They'd already held the ceremony of circumcision and naming in Bethlehem, presumably, when Jesus was 8 days old. And that was a very special, it was the time when the father of the child gave the child his name. And that, remember, going back to John the Baptist, Zechariah, who'd been dumb, everybody else said, "Oh, you're going to call your son Zechariah, aren't you?" "No, no," he said, and signaled for something to write on, and said, "His name is John," because that is what the angel had told him. "But you haven't got a John in your family, you know." "His name is John." And at that moment, Zechariah's lips were set free. And Jesus' name had already been given when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, "You will call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So that had already happened in, presumably, in Bethlehem at 8 days after the birth. So we can see that Jesus was born into a quietly devout Jewish home and also a relatively poor family, because they gave the less expensive offering of two pigeons. Here was a little Jewish family with a firstborn son in a strange place, keeping the faith. Bethlehem is actually only about 8 miles, I think, from Jerusalem, so it wasn't too long a trek to get to the temple. They had had, yes, amazing experiences in connection with the conception and birth. Encounters with angels, shepherds coming to view the baby hours after his birth. But I'm sure that Mary's main concern at that time was keeping the baby fed, warm, and safe. It's actually not clear whether the wise men would have visited within this 40-day period. Personally, I think it unlikely, as they had to escape into Egypt shortly after the wise men had come. But we just don't know. The two Matthew and Luke accounts, you cannot fit them together in that sense. They're covering different things. So here they are, this little family, walking into the outer court of the temple in Jerusalem. And God has arranged another encounter. We know little of Simeon, other that he was an old man and devout. Those same words were used to describe Zechariah and Elizabeth, in Luke's account before the angel spoke to Zechariah about John the Baptist coming. He was also, Simeon, looking for the consolation or redemption of Israel. And very clearly it stated the Holy Spirit was upon him. He obviously wasn't a radical speaker, thinker, prayer, but he was a devout, constant prayer for Israel and for its future and for its redemption. And apparently there were a group of devout, prayerful people in Israel whose name, I think the Hebrew name means something like quiet in the land. So we don't know, but he might have been part of that group looking for the redemption and the coming of the Messiah. He spent his time in prayer and study of the Hebrew scriptures. And he had had a very clear promise from God that he would see the Messiah in his lifetime. So the Holy Spirit prompted him. When you're close to God, it's easier for him to speak to you and guide you. And I think we all ought to take that one on board. The Holy Spirit prompted him to go to the temple on that particular day, at that particular time. There must have been a lot of people going in and out. I guess the temple was always a busy place. How did Simeon know that this couple with this baby were the ones? Again, he was open to God's promptings. He's the one, was the whisper in his ear. God's promise to Simeon is being fulfilled. I guess it was slightly disconcerting for Mary to have this gentle old man scoop the baby out of her arms and cradle him. But the joy in his face must have been so clear. When he says, "Master, you are dismissing your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." The promised Messiah has come. You said I would live to see him. The one I've been looking and waiting for so many years. Now I can stop looking and waiting because it is happening. Dismissing or letting your servant go, depart, the prayer book version, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace," doesn't necessarily mean he's immediately going to go and die. It means he is dismissed from the looking, the waiting, the searching, because he has seen the Messiah come. And how does Simeon describe this baby? God's means of salvation. "Mine eyes have seen your salvation." Jesus, as we know, means Savior. Saved from what? We have 2,000 years of Christian theology. They were looking at that time, saved from evil, certainly. Maybe even the idea of being saved from the events of the fall. But also a lot of people in Israel will be looking to be saved from the Roman domination at that time and other oppressors. Saved to a restored relationship with God. The kingdom, in their case, they would have been looking for a restoration of the kingdom of Israel. But we know that it was much more than that, the kingdom of heaven. But straight away, Simeon has insight that this is not just for the Jews. Mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Right from the beginning, salvation is offered to all. Now Luke, we know, was a Gentile. And while he has set this encounter firmly within the observance of Jewish post-birth rituals, he is recording the universal relevance of Jesus in the presence of all peoples, a light to lighten the Gentiles. But also for the glory to your people Israel. He has not forgotten Israel. Judaism as a religion today may not acknowledge Jesus as Messiah, but God is not going to turn his back on the people with whom he chose to have a special relationship and amongst whom he came to dwell. The very first Christians were Jews. And today, Jewish people do come to accept Jesus as the Messiah and Savior, but they may prefer to be called Messianic Jews, or sometimes completed Jews, which I think is a lovely phrase. Jesus, let's not forget, is to be the glory of Israel too. And there is indication in Scripture that before Jesus returns in glory, there will be a coming to faith of many from the Jewish community. So looking down at the six-week-old baby, Simeon pours out his thankfulness to God and his godly insight to, I'm sure, the slightly stunned couple. Then he gives them a blessing and a warning to Mary that life is not going to be easy, as there will be opposition and turmoil in the immediate events in Israel, because of her son. He will stir up opposition. Later in his gospel, Luke describes Jesus as saying, "I came not to bring peace, but a sword, and families will be divided against each other because of me." Hard words. And Mary will witness some of these and have the pain. However, nothing can take away from the eternal truth that the Messiah has come and nothing will ever be the same again. The last day of the year is a good time to take stock. Looking back over the last 365 days and looking forward into the next 12 months. Whatever else has or will happen in the world or in our own lives, it remains an immovable truth that the light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for Israel is here and will remain with us forever. Praise be to God. Amen.